Hello, friends. This is Nathan Powell. I co-host a brand new podcast called Dynasty Double Take with Dan Sanyo. We join the DLF family of podcasts with unique Dynasty arguments in a short 10 to 12 minute format. Dan and I love to debate Dynasty, and we hope you enjoy our banter as we discuss topics like trade offers, coaching, draft capital, and much, much more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Ryan Hart.
I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I missed you, Brian. I'm glad you're back.
I missed you too, Russ. I'm glad I'm back too.
Yeah, so it is now Sunday night, right? Is that what day it is?
Yes, sir.
And we normally record on Monday or Tuesday, but Brian's just like, he sends me a message. I want to record with like a period after every word. So like, I knew it was serious. So I'm like, let me drug my wife so she passes out and then we're going to go record. It's not like she's listening. So it's not like she'll know that to be fair, I didn't actually do that because I love my wife and Trade Addicts Podcast does not condone drugging people so you can podcast. Man, we've been disclaiming a lot of things lately. Ever since Shane, and drugging babies, we've taken a turn. All right, but Brian, I haven't talked to you in like forever because you've been working, you've gone out with your family, and doing holiday stuff, and not paying attention to me like you're supposed to be doing. So, how have you been?
Yeah, I've been good, man. I'm it's been a nice break in terms of spending a lot of time with my family. We took a little trip down south to visit some family down there and spend some quality time with them, and then just, you know, the regular stuff up here at home that takes up the time. It makes you a little bit crazy, but all good, enjoyable stuff. So it's been very good, but I'm very excited to get back and get talking some football. It's been too long.
Yeah, it has been. We haven't even talked since Fantasy Championships. So how was your playoffs?
Yeah, I did actually pretty decent. I'm in a crazy amount of leagues. I did not make as many playoffs as I would have liked. But I did do fairly well, and especially in championship games. I made four championships, and I won all four.
Oh, good, rock on, so, Brian. Good,
yeah, yeah. Now, I think playoff-wise, I was only about 45%-ish in terms of making the playoffs in my leagues. But those four that I made it to the championship game, I did win all four of those. So, and two of those were back-to-back championships, which are the best kind. And when you can stack them up, that's a lot of fun and really neat. So I was fortunate.
That's what I mean when I say Brian's the brains of this show. Listen to what he says.
Well, I don't know about that, but it was a good championship weekend for sure for me. Unfortunately, I have one league that's still a week 17. So I had to wait a week. Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. But that's the first time I've won that league, and it's kind of a home league with it's not a league I run, but it's a buddy of mine. It's his league, and that one's a long time coming. So that was a feel good weekend in week 17 for me too. So
tell him your first decree as champion is to get rid of week 17 championship weeks.
Honestly thought about it. Yeah, honestly thought about it and may do that. So
all right, that's, man, good for you. Like, that's, I had the opposite of yours. Like, I made the playoffs in a lot of leagues, and week 15 just killed me. And I think I made 8 playoffs, 4 semifinals, 2 championships, and I won one of them. Oh, and I haven't complained with you on this. On that. 0.39, I lost a championship too in the Cartoon Do-Gooders Alliance, which you're in.
Yes.
Doug freaking Martin, man. Like, I just want to drop him at this point. Like, I don't care if you play again. I don't care what happens. Like, this is personal now.
Yep. Yep. There's
0.39.
Seems like there's players every year where it feels so personal. based on their performance or lack thereof. Sometimes that can work in the other way too, with you get a guy that kind of wins you a championship, and then that guy's kind of like a little higher on your board than he is on most people's. So, but yeah,
this was a championship league, this was a charity league at least. So a large portion of the winnings went to a charity, and it was a good charity anyway. I wish I could remember what it was, but so I don't feel nearly as bad. Like if I lost my other one, I'd have been flipping out a lot more.
Yeah.
Cause at least man, things came of tough. This anyway.
0.39. Wow.
0.39. 4 yards.
Brutal. That's brutal.
All right. Well, we're going to move on because I think that's the last time I'm going to bring it up. I've brought it up on, I think, 4 different podcasts at this point, and mine and ours twice. So I think that's my catharsis right there. I think I'm done. I've had my closure.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm totally going to keep complaining about it. Anytime someone talks about championships, I'm bringing it up. 6 years from now, 0.39. I don't know why my voice would have changed so much in that short period of time, but all right. Well, for reals though, we're going to move on. First, it's funny, when Brian gave me that message, it was shortly after a little bit of a heated tweet. So I thought this is why he wanted to actually record, to get this out into the vocal world as opposed to just the Twitter world. So tonight was the wild card round. Is that what we just did in the real playoffs?
Yes.
And the night game was the Bears versus the Eagles. And I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know what happened. Cody Parkey kicks a ball. Boink. Turns out later that we found out it was tipped, but for a while, it was so slight that no one noticed. And let's just say people were less than pleased. And you know what, Brian, take it from here.
Yeah. Well, I saw a tweet that had scrolled through a number of Chicago Bear fans who had tagged Cody Parkey in tweets. And it was ugly, really, really ugly. A lot of go F yourself and F yous and, you know, suggestions that he should take his life and stupid stuff like that. And my response to that was just, you know, people need to get a life. This is sports. Calm down. Like, take a chill pill. It's sports. You know, I'm as invested in my sports teams as, I mean, I'd argue as invested as most or any out there. I've never once
ever seen you not wearing a Penn State shirt.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and it goes the same way on Sundays for the Steelers. You know, but I've never once in my life, not once in my life in my fandom, have I ever thought that player made a bad play. He should go kill himself. I mean, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. This is a game. Even though they're making millions of dollars doing it, it's still a game. And ultimately, it doesn't affect your life one bit. So take a chill pill. Calm down. It's sports. It's sports. Games. It's just one of those things where, you know, look, I get it. I mean, I get being upset. As a Bears fan, that has to be a crushing defeat. Absolutely crushing. So I get the, oh, man, you got to be kidding me, dude. Like, how could you not make that, you know, mumbling under your breath, calling your best friend, telling him, you know, oh, we got to get a new kicker for next year. And all that stuff's good. I don't have a problem with any of that. If you say to your best friend, he should go hurt himself, that's unacceptable. Tweeting at the guy and telling him to go hurt himself is even worse. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It takes a sick human being. Think about how sad. And I'm not calling people out if you've ever sent a tweet like that because you're in an emotional moment, whatever. Like, I get it, but delete it immediately if you have. And just, I mean, it just makes, it makes me hurt, because how sad do you have to be in your existence to tell somebody to go hurt themselves? I just can't imagine telling anybody that ever. So I don't know. This is one of those things that just kind of hit me the wrong way. I saw afterwards where one of his offensive tackles, one of the offensive tackles for the Bears, Leno, I think it was, they asked him in the locker room, what do you say to people who are, tweeting at him and saying all this stuff? And he said, I'd say F you, like, you don't know how hard this job is. None of you know how hard this job is. And get over yourselves, essentially, is what he said. And good for him. I mean, that's, he's right. He's right. He's right. You typically, not everybody's in a position where millions of people are watching them do their job, even if they're doing their job poorly. So the pressure and the stress and all of that stuff is something that you can say you've experienced or that you can understand or whatever. You can say, oh, well, he gets paid to handle that stress. Yeah, he does. And he didn't do his job. And guess what? There's probably going to be consequences in terms of the team, potentially. Now, I know the money situation. I'm not even going to get into all that stuff. The bottom line here is he messed up. Big deal. You messed up by saying, hey, go hurt yourself. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to sound like an old angry, whatever, but it's just ridiculous.
Rational human being.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand. This is the world we live in today, though. I mean, it's just there's no respect for life. There's no respect for, individual interactions. I mean, people sit behind a keyboard and type whatever the hell they want, and there's no consequences for it. And it is what it is, but it's sad. I think my tweet sums it up, and I apologize if people get offended by cussing. Yeah, it hit me in a really tough spot. And I said a couple words that I probably shouldn't have, but my tweet sums it up perfectly for me. People need to get a life. This is sports. Calm down, so.
All right, that's, and I'll finish this up with something that we have talked about many times. Just don't at players, ever. I mean, honestly, even for good reasons, I feel like there's no reason to ever actually really at a player. I mean, who cares what we have to say about what they do? I mean, at least when it comes to how they play, always brings up, if you want to say, this dude is doing great stuff in his charity for his community. Yeah, no, at, great. But even still, if you're talking about, what you think of his playing, who cares? I mean, not to be a dick about it, but I feel like, I don't know, we should not bother them in their everyday life. And that's what adding them is, even with good things. It's just, I don't know if that's maybe a self-reflection on my self-esteem or anything, but I don't think it matters what I have to say enough that they should ever actually care.
Well, and I think this goes back to another thing that we've talked about before, when we're talking about dealing with league mates or people interacting with people on Twitter, just don't be a jerk. I mean, if you're telling somebody to hurt themselves, you're acting like a jerk. You may not be a jerk, but you're acting like one. So stop it. Just don't be a jerk.
Yeah. All right, and we're going to move on now.
Yes.
I didn't actually even do our little intro, so welcome everybody. Session 40 of the Trade Addicts podcast, even though we're probably 20-something minutes in at this point. Session 40, our podcast is about ready to go through its midlife crisis. We're about to get a Porsche Boxster and a fancy new haircut.
Hey, I got a new haircut a couple months ago, so... But it was more out of necessity than it was out of a life change. So,
Trade Addicts Podcast, episode 40. Welcome, everybody. Ah, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. There you go. Work that in. What else do I say here? I'm at a loss because we talk so much already. All right. who cares? We're going to move on. We don't have really much. Yeah, I mean, we're a little thrown off by recording on a day we're not used to recording to, so we don't really have anything planned whatsoever.
And that is my fault too.
It is 100%, bro.
100% my fault. Take responsibility. I was just itching so bad to get back and get to talking a little bit of football that I sprung that message on Russ, and he was kind enough to oblige me here. So we're doing the show. So this is This is what it's going to be.
So you're welcome. So we're going to talk some Trade Addicts trades, and I saved a couple of listener questions from the last show that were good, but I didn't have a way to work into all the people I was talking to. So we'll get to them as well. We're going to try and keep this one a little shorter because it's already 11:30 and we just started BSing too much. And big news that we will announce at the end of the show. So let's actually, we'll start with some trades, get to some questions, and then talk to some trades afterwards as well. We'll do... okay, let's start with this one first. Trade Addicts 4. Devontae Parker for James Washington. Now, this one on Twitter was 22% for Devontae Parker. Surprised he even got that much. For James Washington, 78%. Now, I know Brian put this up here looking for me to throw my hands in the air and say, why are you doing same position swaps? But honestly, I get this one. Like, Devontae Parker is... we'll call him a disappointment at this point. It's, what, 4 years? He's been in the league for 4 years now. And he's always shown like one or two big plays a year that he could be awesome, and then either hurts his foot or eats too many donuts or whatever and sort of falls away. I think he's going to be on a new team next year, and that's why I think some people are going to be like, new place, new situation, maybe a new chance. I don't think I'm on that boat. I think I take James Washington here. Which side were, this was you, right?
Yeah, this was a trade I was involved in. I actually was the side that got Washington in this trade. And a number of things went in it for me. I think, you know, I've owned Parker in a lot of leagues over the years here, and I'm one of those owners that's a little bit frustrated. You know, the other owner in this deal is a very good owner and very respected owner. So I think what he was thinking was Parker has talent. It's just the situation in Miami has been horrible. You know, he has flashed at least a couple times every year. Mm-hmm. He just can't put it together in consecutive weeks or in multiple weeks. You know, he'll flash in week two and then he won't flash again till week 13. So, you know, a change of scenery could absolutely do him, you know, a tremendous help and boost his value again, especially if he goes to, you know, a spot where he can slide in as maybe the wide receiver two in an offense or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pass heavy offense with a decent quarterback. But for me, I'm trying to get James Washington a little bit ahead of the curve because I think this guy is going to be a factor in Pittsburgh.
He was a lot of people's wide receiver one before the draft.
He was. I know. I listened to the Dynasty HQ show. Our buddy Shane, who's been on our show, he was a huge James Washington guy way back. Now I haven't heard him talk about him necessarily too much lately, but I remember back around draft time, he was a big Washington guy, and you know, I liked him a lot out of Oklahoma State as well. And then he came to Pittsburgh and it was like, well, you know, that situation's probably not ideal. Mm-hmm. You know, they have Brown, that, you know, Juju has emerged as a superstar. You know, so Washington, you're talking like, okay, well, he's a wide receiver three on his own team. And then, you know,
healthy scratch,
exactly, you know, and so it's like, well, but I still believed in the talent. Now, what's mm-hmm. happened since, I even like this deal more since because of the AB stuff in Pittsburgh. Yes,
for sure.
All the uncertainty around him and the team and the reports that they might try to move him and different things like that. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but still, it looks like Antonio Brown at the best case scenario in terms of his career as a Steeler, he'll play out this contract and then he'll leave. You know, worst case scenario, they may try to move him. I mean, they might just say, look, this isn't working and we're going to move on. If that's the case, I think James Washington immediately has a huge rise in value, especially as long as Ben Roethlisberger's there. And here's the deal. James Washington's quarterback in college is obviously Mason Rudolph, who's mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's backup. So I think there's, you know, and I know Josh Dobbs is in there, but I don't think Josh Dobbs is the answer. I think they drafted Mason Rudolph with the idea that he would eventually potentially take over for Roethlisberger. Now, he didn't win the number two job, but I don't think they were really pushing him to win that job either, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those deals where I liked the player and I went after him, and the gentleman that owned him liked the player I was offering, you know, and thought he had some upside. So it's a good deal.
It's exactly like you said. This is two players where two owners were like, I want to get a share of this for just in case this happens. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's whoever you like. I mean, they're both pretty low value, so why not? I mean, there's reason to do this kind of swap. It's a belief thing as opposed to, you know, trading two guys where CMC for Zeke or something like that. It's just like, really, right. I mean, why at that point?
Right.
So, but this, I mean, these are two guys that may not see the field forever. So it's like, this is a flag planting trade, more or less.
Yep.
So I'm down. I don't hate you for it.
Appreciate that.
Okay. So I've decided we're just going to keep alternating. Here we are going to. Okay. So this is a question I wanted to get to. Dynasty noob, at some dino noob. What moves should rebuilds be making over the offseason before the draft? After the draft, not just get younger and sell your vets, but strategies for trying to squeeze value from the end of bench type assets in thirds and fourths. What type of lottery tickets to stash or buy high targets? Now, we talked a little bit about that. Guys changing scenery is a big thing. I think if I were to go over my rosters right now, I think my most owned player would be Tyrell Williams, because he's going to be a free agent. I have to he has to not come back to Los Angeles. I mean, they have Mike Williams. They're getting Hunter Henry back. I can't imagine they're going to end up paying him. So he's going to go somewhere. Now, I know what everyone's going to say, wide receivers going to a new place, especially year one, they don't always do well. That's not even the point of getting Tyrell Williams right now. His value is going to spike. And you're going to have people that get too excited because A, they went to his team, or B, they don't know about players, wide receivers, that first year not doing well. And you'll be able to sell him for way much more than you got him for. I'm in a 6-team dispersal and got him in like the 24th round. I mean, how late is that? Like, it was like people were taking 4th and 5th round picks and 2023s before, you know, and Tyrell Williams was still sitting there. And Devontae Parker, James Washington, like, especially you want to go for guys that have a good chance of spiking before training camp comes around. Because what you need to do when you're rebuilding is keep flipping. You are going to need to maximize value of every single move you do. Literally care zero about what your starting lineup is going to look like, because who cares right now? That's really a tip for everybody. I mean, we are almost the furthest point possible to starting a lineup that you'll be, that you don't ever need to care about what your start. Like, I mean, check your league rules. Make sure you need to have, if you need to have a starting quarterback on your roster, make sure you have one. But I mean, otherwise, you'll fix it before the season starts. It's just the way it is. Don't even worry about it. Thirds and fourths, I've always said, those are upgrade pieces. I'll give you this wide receiver and a third for this wide receiver. Use it to get a little better position by position. I'm a big fan of 2-for-1-ing whenever I can. Two assets to get a little better at one for one asset. Now, obviously, that comes down to everybody wants the best player in the trade. but that doesn't always work out. Just when you're rebuilding, I think what you need to do is find your core pieces and then figure it out from there. I mean, I always end up with one of like Odell, Michael Thomas, Stephon Diggs. I've built so many teams around Stephon Diggs because he was, I mean, he's gotten a little more expensive at this point, but he was always like, to me, the cheapest of the guys I think were top tier, well, top-ish tier, like of the top few tiers that you can acquire and then build around, start getting second tier, third tier guys, but have that one stud, the guy you consider a stud on your team. And if it's super flex, you do that with quarterbacks also. You know, you brought up Mason Rudolph, guys like that where, I almost like Taysom Hill, but like, you know, if the Saints win, you don't know if Breeze is coming back, go get Teddy, go get Taysom Hill. Weird guys like AJ McCarron in case the Raiders do something weird and sell trade Derek Carr. I mean, there's that's what you got to do is right now that it's football is even still going on, get guys whose value you know will rise before it matters, because it's not going to matter if you're full rebuilding, it's not going to matter for a while. But you're going to want, by the time that rookie draft comes, to have much more value on your team than you have right now. And Brian, you want to talk for a little bit before I keep going? Because I could talk for like an hour on this one alone.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, the biggest point that you made that I think, and I wrote it down on a sheet of paper here. I'm holding it up if you're watching the video. But the biggest point that you made that I agree with for sure here is there is so much time before you have to set a roster. Like, it amazes me every year when we get into, you know, we get into the off season after, you know, this period right now that we're in after the, you know, between the end of the fantasy season and the draft, right? And everybody's like, oh yeah, I got to make moves, got to make moves. All right. So, I'll give you this for this. Well, you know, that's my
leave me weak at my wide receiver two spot.
Yeah, that'll make me exactly. That's well, that's, you know, he's really my only startable running back. Well, guess what? It's freaking January. You got 8 months before you have to set a roster, 9 months almost before you have to set a roster. So don't worry about what it's going to do to your roster. This is why for me, I almost. We're going to share an example here in a little bit where I didn't do this, but I almost always do trades I do trades with value. I don't care about what it's doing to my team because I'm always trying to think several moves ahead. I'm not just thinking about the deal that's in front of me, right? So you get a trade offer and you're looking at it and you're like, well, this makes me pretty weak at running back. Well, it also makes you a little bit stronger at wide receiver because you're getting a stud wide receiver in or whatever. So then maybe you can move a mid-level wide receiver for a running back or whatever. There's a lot of play with that and a lot of time, especially this time of year, you know, to worry about your starting lineup or to worry about having too many players of one team on your roster. I know that's another big one. People are like, oh, I got to diversify. Well, I mean, yeah, that's not the worst of ideas, but you don't have to do it in January or February, you know, see what happens in the draft and then see how things shake out there and what as you get closer to the season, then you start worrying about a little bit more about your roster itself. So, I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of what you said, Russ. And then also just, you know, I think, generally speaking, when we're talking about what are we doing in the offseason, it's looking for guys that you think are possibilities to break out, right? So you're looking at guys and guys that you don't have to necessarily pay for full price for. So you're looking at injured guys, you know, guys on IR. You know, you're looking at guys who maybe didn't have the best seasons, but that maybe that wasn't 100% their fault, you know, maybe.
Or, sorry to interrupt, guys that started strong and then finished weak, but you know, like maybe there was some sort of situational thing that caused them to slow down, because that recency bias is so real in our little game that if you can get this guy that you know is going to bounce back at the beginning of next year, prey on that. Sorry, go.
No, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here. It's just looking for opportunities to get players, you know, added to your team, maybe not at their full value currently, right? So I think those are all good things. I think you covered it pretty well. And you know, again, the biggest thing that I want to stress out of all of that is you have a lot of time before you have to set a roster. So don't worry about your starting lineup right mm-hmm. now in January, on January 6th or 7th. You know, worry about it, you know, when you get within a month of your season. And if you look at your roster and you have some holes, okay, well then, you know, then maybe make some moves to upgrade your starting roster, but not right now.
All right. And I'm going to throw one more thing out because it's a little against the conventional thoughts of how to rebuild. Sell your vets for young stuff. Sell your vets for picks. Absolutely. I think, like, I had a team where I ended up with literally like maybe 5 or 6 first round picks. I inherited a team with 8. In a 12 team league, I had literally over half the first round picks. It's insane. You're not going to hit on a lot of those. Just going to put it out there. It doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are, your past track record. It doesn't matter. It's not worth it. What you're going to do, take 3 of those and go freaking get like Michael Thomas. Go get Devontae Adams. Go get a stud, because first of all, you're still going to have 5 first round picks to go do whatever the hell you want with, but you're also going to have someone you know is awesome. And it's like driven into everyone's head that I'm rebuilding, let me sell my good guys and get picks and like rebuild through that. First of all, that will take literally forever. I mean, wide receiver, it's not 2014 anymore. Wide receivers are going to take a few years to really break out into their own. And the fact that you're going to miss, the fact that you're going to have to wait that long. I mean, do you really want to, like, by that time, you're going to build a dynasty and it's going to take you 3 championships to pay all the buy-ins that you've lost while you were rebuilding. I have my 3-year rebuild that I've been bragging about ever since I won with. I mean, my main players on that team are Michael Thomas, and my main wide receivers, I'll say, Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. I traded for both of them. I didn't draft either of them. Michael Thomas, that year, you know who I drafted? Dotson, Coleman. I mean, I did not. I didn't draft Treadwell, thankfully. But
that's right. You were a big Corey Coleman guy.
Big Corey Coleman fan. Like, I drafted every wrong wide receiver, but I found a way to get Michael Thomas anyway. But I drafted Corey Davis, who I think is going to be awesome still. I drafted Nick Chubb. I drafted Saquon Barkley. So yeah, I hit
championship.
Yep. Like, yes. Baquan brought me the ship. Yes, he did. So yeah, like, you're going to hit on a couple of picks and that's going to be awesome. Don't depend on that being a 100% thing, or even to say, don't depend on that being like a 75% thing. Like, if you have 5 picks, 5%, I should have made that much easier on myself. If you have, you know, 4 picks, why are you going to waste a pick? Sell it. You know, give your chance, you know, sell your 104s and keep your 101. I mean, just try and find a way to maximize the value of everything you have in your hands and come away with the sturdiest, most solid pieces you can. But we've been droning a bit, so I think we're going to move on.
Okay.
So, Noob, I hope that answered your question. If we missed something, then, you know.
Hit us up on Twitter if we missed something.
For real.
We love to chat on there.
During the draft, always trade back. More assets. That's the answer. Let's go back to the trades. Oh, we forgot. What Trade Addicts League was that other one in?
That was in 4. Yep.
Okay. Oh, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium. Man, like, the rust still needs to be shaken off on this episode. okay, so you talk about how you always trade for value. Let's talk about when you didn't trade for value. This goes back to another one of our credos. Always go get your guy. Here, you read this one.
Yeah, so this was a pretty big one in Trade Addicts too. Fellow Steeler fan, our buddy Rob, we made a pretty big one. I gave him Zeke Elliott. Well, I didn't give it to him. I sent.
Kind of did.
I yeah. Some people may think I gave him Zeke Elliott. I sent
81%
Yes, 81% believe that I gave him Ezekiel Elliott, but I sent Ezekiel Elliott, and in return, I got Juju Smith-Schuster and Zay Jones. So it is a fact that I probably overpaid here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. Juju is a guy. So first of all, in this particular, this Trade Addicts 2, I've been after Juju, and Rob can confirm this. I've been after Juju for, when did that league start? April of last year?
In March, April, yeah.
March, April. Yeah. So I've literally been after Juju for like 7.5 months. Almost weekly, especially, well, put it this way. The last 3 months, it's been, I've talked to him or sent him a deal probably every other day. So I think he actually just did this because, I mean, impartially because I overpaid, impartially because he's just sick and tired of hearing my, you know, my typing or whatever. So, but Juju's my guy. I, you know, he's a superstar in this league, in my opinion. And I wanted to own him, and especially in this particular league. So I went and I got him. I traded Ezekiel Elliott. I do have Melvin Gordon on this roster as well, so I'm not horrible at running back any longer. Depth took a little bit of a hit, obviously, there. But and for this particular team, too, this is one where, you know, we were just talking about it's a long time, you know, it's a long time before you have to worry about setting a lineup. Mm-hmm. I also own Antonio Brown in this league. I traded for him at the end of the season, basically to make a championship run, which didn't happen. But so I own both of them. I don't care.
Even if you have them in your starting lineup,
right? I mean, even if I am stuck with both of them moving into my starting lineup, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, two players at that caliber, I don't care if they're on the same team or not. You know, but with this deal, I mean, obviously Ezekiel Elliott holds more value than Juju and Zay Jones. I don't know. I just Juju to me is like the next one. He's like mm-hmm. the next one. He's the next one in this elite line of wide receivers. The kid can do it all. He can run routes. He makes difficult catches. He makes ridiculous catches. He has 297-yard touchdowns where he's outrun defenses. You know, and that was the big knock on him coming out of school, was he's not fast enough. Well, he's fast enough to get 297-yard touchdowns with guys on his heels. So, you know, now when AB leaves or retires or whatever, you know, or Ben retires, does that change things? I mean, I don't know. He's just a kid. He's performed pretty well with like Landry Jones at quarterback too. The couple times that Ben has been out over the last several seasons or Josh Dobbs. So I don't know. I believe that Juju is somewhat quarterback proof. And I wanted to own him. And there's nothing wrong with going and getting your guys or overpaying, you know, for a guy that you want to own. Now, if it wrecks your team, that's a different story, right? So if Ezekiel Elliott was my only running back and my only good asset, period, you know, then it's a different story. I mean, you don't want to wreck your team and then be rebuilding for 3 years because you want to own one player. But you know, if it's not going to wreck your team entirely and there's a guy you want to own, it's fine to overpay a little bit for that guy. So that's what I did here. I definitely lost this trade in the poll, but I do not feel bad about it at all. So
good for you, man. Got your guy. And yep. Like you said, I think in a matter of time, this will even out value wise.
I certainly right. hope so.
You know, yeah, right. I think Juju is absolutely on his way up. I think he is going to be, I mean, I don't know if I predict him to be like Nuke, OBJ, Michael Thomas high just yet, but I
mean, it's funny you said that because Odell Beckham Jr., okay, his best season in the league is 96 catches, 1,450 yards. Now, he had 13 touchdowns, which is different because Juju only had 7 touchdowns. And that's a lot of points. I mean, that's a lot of fantasy points. But Juju had, he had 106 for, I'm not sure what it was. 111. 111 catches for 1426 this year as a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what you're saying is, you know, the playmaking ability in terms of, I mean, both of those guys, if they get the ball in their hands, they can just, I mean, they can take a, you know, a 3-yard slant 78 yards, you know, any time they touch it. Juju, maybe not, I'm not really sure.
He's done it, so I guess. I mean, I was talking more fantasy value. I mean, maybe it'll take 2 years of this again for him to get into that like middle of the first round of startups, but he's already like 13.
Right.
I don't know if that's, I mean, we'll see what happens in the offseason because, you know, things are a little wacky at the end of the season when it comes to ADP because you're still a little too much on what's happening right now.
Sure.
Especially with the Antonio stuff going on, it's going to push him up a bit. So he was ahead of Antonio. I think DLF December or even January, I think it was. Juju was 13, AB was 14. So, I mean, it's happening. But, yeah, you got your guy. You got him before you think he's going to get higher. I mean, we did our buy high series in the last offseason, which we'll do again, I'm sure, at some point. But this is your buy high guy because you think it's going to go higher. So, good move. I mean, I was going to say you should send me something like this, but you kind of didn't. I couldn't pull the trigger on it.
I tried. Talk
about that if you want.
We can talk about it. That's fine with me.
So Brian sent me Antonio Brown for Nick Chubb, and I stared at it for probably a day, and I'm just like, I couldn't do it. I don't know if it's the stuff surrounding AB right now, the uncertainty. I don't know if... Do I think Antonio Brown's going to really decline in the next 2 years? Probably not. But I think we're at the point where we've seen the highest his value is going to be, and I don't think we've seen the highest Nick Chubb's value is going to be. And I own so many Nick Chubb shares. I was such a big fan of his coming in. So to me, this was just like, I could probably do this. It would be smart for now, but I checked myself before I wrecked myself is exactly what happened. And I said no. And I am even shocked I said no to it. I replied, I'm like, I'm probably crazy for this, but, and I hit reject.
I don't know if I want to comment on this. I don't know if you're still thinking or.
No, it's not going to happen. Reject, man. It's not going to happen. I almost, I was looking for something with one of your younger guys to make me feel a little better about it. Because you have Mike Evans. I can't remember who else you have. But I started looking around and then got sidetracked because I'm in like two dispersal drafts and, you know, the Dynasty Trades HQ, everyone's begging to trade, and the Trade Addicts Leagues, everyone's begging to trade.
Oh, I see where your co-host is on the pecking order here.
You rank like a solid fourth or fifth.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. No, yeah, I don't need to move Antonio Brown.
No.
And I think
you're going after your guys. You said that from the beginning. And the second I saw that, I was like, wow. And you're like, no, I'm going after my guys right now, even if I have to overpay a little bit.
Yep.
And I get it. I've absolutely been guilty of it also. The point of this is fun. Get the guys on your team that you want to be on your team. I'm sure Nick Chubb will probably be yours before the season starts. Let's put it out there. We just got to find the right combination of things to do. Yeah. Maybe live negotiations, one episode. It's too late now.
Hey, there we go. Yep.
All right. But speaking of, we're going to move along.
Go.
All right. This was a good question. Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. At WEI_FU0619, Wei Fu, maybe. I'm in a league he commissions. I've never talked to the dude in person. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name horribly wrong. What is your startup strategy? Strategy is a very difficult word to say.
Just putting especially it out after there. Startup.
Strategy.
What
is your startup draft strategy for 2019 startups for Superflex leagues? And how does it differ from 2018? Okay. I actually have an answer for this, because usually year to year doesn't really change all that much for me. The two things, one is super flex and one is not. I'll start with the not. I have come around on earlier round running backs. You need a stud running back to win a league. And if you want to compete within the first 2 years of your startup, you're going to need to draft one before round seven. If you want to, go in, land running. What is that saying? Hit the ground running. There you go. So I'm on board with drafting a run. I used to go four to six straight wide receivers. That's a lie. I'd go like four straight wide receivers, then hit some quarterbacks, which also leads me to my second. I kind of want at least one stud quarterback. I probably just listened to too much John Hogue is what it comes down to. I used to be fine with like Winston and Mariota, like two guys of that second to third tier, Kirk Cousins kind of guys. I need dependability. I know in the greater scheme, quarterbacks have the least variance in their scoring between rankings. I'm not wording this correctly, but like the quarterback one to the quarterback like six is less than the wide receiver one to the less wide receiver six. So that's why it makes sense to draft them a little later, the whole late round quarterback reasoning. First of all, you can't really stream at all in super flex leagues unless you draft multiple, at least three or four quarterbacks. So I want a guy where I know, regardless of, man, I'm gonna have to edit out some blank spaces in this, regardless of matchup, I'm comfortable with this guy in there every time. I'm not saying it needs to be Patrick Mahomes at the 101 or anything like that, but if I can grab, Deshaun Watson at the beginning of the second, or I'm blanking on other examples, but guys like that second tier that aren't the super elite guys, like Cam Newton's falling a little bit. I'd easily grab him at the end of the second, beginning of the third. Russell Wilson. I don't want to get started on the Seahawks right now. So those are my two differences. That's the two differences in the strategies from last year to this year. I used to just be wide receiver for the first 5-6 picks. And now I want to grab a running back. I want to grab a quarterback earlier than I normally would, because I think you need that stability and you need that. You need the stud running back to take you far. And if you're going to give yourself 2 years or a lot of waiver trade movement, you can find that late round running back, and you can get your Damian Williams off the waiver wire when it comes down to it. But getting started with Melvin Gordon, that just makes your life easier. What about you?
So it this is funny because you've come around on running backs earlier.
Yes, earlier.
So I've kind of gone the other way. So a lot of the ADP you look at has six running backs in the top eight picks.
Oh no, that I won't do.
Okay. I'm if that's truly happening in leagues, I will gladly trade back and grab the elite wide receivers.
Yes.
So I guess that would be my difference in this year versus previous years. And here's the other one. I want Pat Mahomes everywhere.
You want a one, you're taking Pat Mahomes?
Well, no, come on.
Just saying, that's what that might happen. That you're in a league with
Saquon Barkley is the number one overall pick. It's been Saquon 01 since day one. And it will remain Saquon 01 until further notice. However, my God, is Pat Mahomes good? Good grief. I mean, this kid, how anyone has him at this point ranked as not the quarterback one is again,
should we invite John Hogue into this chat now so he can tell you why he's not his quarterback?
John and I can have a discussion about this for sure at some point. and I would welcome that because he's a very intelligent guy and he knows his quarterbacks. So, but I have a hard time not. I mean, I love Aaron Rodgers too, but the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. Even when he's been on the field, he's been good. He's been good. He hadn't been Patty Mahomes good. He hadn't been Patty Mahomes 2018 good.
He needs Patty Mahomes 2018's weapons.
Listen. But the weapons aren't changing, dude. Tyreek Hill's still there.
Oh, no, no. I just mean that's what Aaron Rodgers needs to be able to do that well, because, I mean, he's...
Fair enough.
Hill and Kelsey and, well, Hunt for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Watkins. Conley's actually awesome and a free agent. Go back... last question. Go get Chris Conley. He costs absolutely nothing and he's a free agent. Sorry. Go.
No, that's okay. Yeah. So I mean, I agree with that. I think if Aaron Rodgers had a better offensive line and better weapons around him, then he would be considered probably the top quarterback. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. So why is he still considered the top quarterback?
History.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, if we're talking about who is the better quarterback, if all things are equal, then there's a discussion to be had. All things aren't equal. Pat Mahomes is a very good quarterback, and he has unbelievable weapons.
And right, that I'll give you the same argument I give for running backs and why Todd Gurley is still my one.
Yep.
We've seen it before. I mean, if
so, how long? Okay, so let me ask a question based on that. How long do you have to see it before you change your mind?
Yeah, not it's even more, all the way through next year, to be honest.
Okay, so two full seasons.
Yeah, I mean, if it's three quarters down the season, and I'm not expecting every single game to be 500 yards and six touchdowns because, I mean, that's just unrealistic. But if, you know, Mahomes goes halfway through next season and it's not wavering, and if Saquon is still catching double digits a game and getting 200 yards, I'm just gonna be like, all right, no, okay, I'm ready. And maybe that costs me a few opportunities to trade for him, or I don't trade him away at a high enough price, so be it. It's risk insulation. It's, you know, not getting too excited. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's still pretty high up there for me, but he was crowned very quickly. Carson Wentz, very quickly. They both became quarterback ones.
They both also had serious injuries quickly.
Yeah, stuff happens. But, I mean, we've seen Deshaun Watson play this entire season, and he did pretty well. He had some iffy moments and such, but I think he's probably not in many people's top five. And he was crowned very quickly as a quarterback, as the quarterback one by a few people. I mean, I don't even have anybody in mind as who did it, but I remember seeing it. So, I mean, that's my thing. I'm afraid to rush to judgment. And if it costs me, it costs me. It's my not wanting to overreact. It's my to be, I guess, safe in some aspect.
Yeah, I respect that. I mean, I think that's sound logic. I think there's a lot of people that take that approach too, and that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, I'm one that typically will not, you know, with the exception of Saquon Barkley, because I watched him with my own two eyes every single game of his college career. So, yeah. And in person, but so.
Yeah, we know.
With the exception of Saquon, I think, you know, and maybe Zeke, because Zeke was pretty damn highly touted too.
Yes.
You know, but with the exception of guys like that, yeah. I mean, I think I typically even need to see them do it in the league before I'm willing to take them over somebody who's done it in the league at an elite level, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that. I think there are certain players, and I know, like, terms like generational talent and, you know, stuff like that get thrown around all the time. And, you know, but I think there are certain guys that don't fit the mold of, okay, well, we have to see it again. And I think Saquon, and here's the deal. I think there can be, there's probably going to be regression from Saquon Barkley.
Well, there's going to be just change around him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Odell's going to be healthy a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's going to probably take some touches away from Barkley. They're going to get a quarterback who can throw the ball more than 30 yards. Right.
James Winston, Joe Flacco in a Giants jersey. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, well, as long as it's only like on a 1 year deal. Right. But yeah, here's the deal with Mahomes though. So in all transparency or fairness, I was one of the ones that quickly anointed Deshaun Watson. I mean, I was a big mm-hmm. Watson guy. I mean, he was on pace, and I know people. I've read so many Twitter posts with different players, Cooper Kupp, and different things like that about on pace and how on pace doesn't mean anything and doesn't account for regression, and that's absolutely true. So instead of looking at, you know, so Watson was on pace before he got injured for like 87 touchdowns and like 28,000 passing yards or something like that. I don't know what it was. It was insane. And then he got hurt, and that sucked. And would he have regressed? Probably some. And would he have regressed enough where he would not still coming into this season if he had been healthy? He still would have entered the year as a top five quarterback. Maybe not the top quarterback or the top two quarterbacks, but he went in a top five quarterback. Here's the thing about Mahomes, though. We have a full season. We have a full season, right? Guess how many games a dude threw for less than 240 yards?
You're not actually going to make me guess, are you?
Yeah, guess.
I don't know. Four.
Zero.
All right.
Not one time. He only threw for two games under 250. 10 games over 300 yards. And he had two touchdowns or more in all but two games. Now, will there be regression there? Is he going to throw 50 touchdowns next year? Probably not. Can he throw 42? Probably. Pretty easily, too, I would imagine. I mean, unless something crazy happens in that offense where, you know, they... I don't know. I mean, Travis Kelce gets hurt. I mean, that would suck. Bad.
Yes.
But, you know, but I don't know. I Mahomes this year for me has vaulted himself, you know, and it's not just the dude threw for almost 400 yards against the Ravens 4 weeks ago. I mean, that defense is legit. You know, I mean, they didn't win today, and didn't have their best game today. Well, they kind of did. I mean, they held them to four freaking field goals. They only scored one touchdown. So five field goals and one touchdown. So, you know, I mean, he's done it against pretty big competition, too. And in duels, I mean, that L.A. game, he and Jared Goff went at it for 60 minutes, you know. And he's done it against Jacksonville, although their defense sucked this year, so that's not a really good example. But he dueled with Tom Brady. They lost the game, but he threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns in that game. You know, so I don't know. I've seen enough for me. I've seen enough with Patrick Mahomes to go ahead and put him up there at the top. But anyways, I guess back to the point of this, what is the startup strategy? And it's for me, it's, you know, people seem to be trying to get one of those elite five or six running backs. If you are in those picks and you can move back and either still grab one of them or start grabbing the elite receiver. I mean, if you're getting Odell Beckham or Nuke Hopkins at eight, you're winning.
Yes. And that's happening these days.
Right. Right. So I think that's the first and biggest thing for me. And then, like I said, if you're around the area where Patrick Mahomes should probably be going, snap him up because he's a pretty special kid, I think. So,
okay. Well, I am tired. It's later than it normally is. And
that's pretty typical of us. We
get
chatty and
Yeah, especially because I haven't spoken to you in like forever. So we were BSing for a long time. And we're all just like, yeah, we should probably record. Yeah, but before we do that. actually, speaking of why, one of the big reasons that we took so long to start recording the big news I was talking about, our merch shop is officially open for the public. It is tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com.
That's tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com.
Okay. All right. Store Envy.
I didn't do the soundboard tonight, so I had to.
Yeah, we didn't really have segments or anything. We just sort of BS'd our way through it. Store Envy is Storenvy. There's only one E to combine those words, Store Envy. We got some awesome stuff up there. If you are a Patreon, so you should go to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. If you are, I think it's a $5 tier where you get, I believe it's like 10% off of the merch shop. We have to figure out how to actually do that. I probably should have looked into that first. So don't order yet. Just, you know, throw me a DM first. And we'll figure out coupon codes and stuff like that. I just got way too excited and hit the store open button. I was talking to Brian and I'm like, all right, yeah, like tomorrow I'll look some stuff up and then I'll open it up. And then he goes to the bathroom. By the time he gets back, I opened it already.
Which is so awesome.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com. Absolutely go buy some stuff and rep the hell out of the Trade Addicts podcast. Otherwise, I'm probably going to go watch TV before I pass out because I don't know, I have the house to myself and I'm not going to get bothered by kids. So I need to stay awake for a little bit.
Nice.
So if we have nothing else to talk about, DLF Family Podcasts, there's the DLF stream you can subscribe to, get all of the awesome shows. Still keep us subscribed also because we need those numbers because we need to show other people that everybody loves us because that's, I mean, I know we say we do it for fun, but we feed off of everybody's admiration is really what it comes down to. It sustains us and we need those numbers to know. That's a load of crap. I don't know. It's late. Speaking of DLF, Brian's rankings, 2QB, Superflex, even though you've been on vacation for a week and a half, so you haven't updated them in a while, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. I need to get them updated this week, and I will.
All right. Otherwise, thanks for stopping by. See you next time, and good night, Brian.
Night out, house.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. Follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe.